Radio.
You're listening to Radio Aryan at RadioAryan.com.
Hello and welcome to Truth Will Out Radio. Today's date is the 3rd of March 2017 and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks. Tonight, I am very pleased to welcome back to Truth Will Out Radio the wandering star, wandering whatever, I'm not quite sure, but Dennis is back. Mr. Dennis Wise, producer of Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told, has returned from wherever it was he was last week.
Absolutely, so, without leave.
That's yeah, welcome back, Dennis. We certainly did miss you. We did our best on. We did our best to carry on without you, but it's great to have you back. Anyway, how are you doing today, anyway?
Yeah, I'm doing fine, yeah. Interesting little piece of research this week, which we're going to talk about. Should be good.
Yeah, it's sort of dovetailed with some of the things that we've been talking about a bit here at Radio Aryan over the last week as well, to do with Hollywood and the way that our race is being attacked and the various weapons that are being used against whites. So what sort of spurred you into investigating Hollywood again, Dennis? Because I know you've done lots of research into that before for Communism by the Back Door, didn't you? So
yeah.
So what got you interested again?
Well, it was just the fact that they've got such a huge influence with the movies all over the world. It's kind of, they've got carte blanche, really, to impose their beliefs and their agendas, sometimes even subtly, and especially when there was talking out against Trump. I've still got a few days to go for the 100 days up before I can really pass judgment. But, Trump was saying some certain things and Hollywood was coming out. They threatened this thing at the Oscars. He was going to do speeches until they goofed up themselves. Obviously, there's a big influence down there and it mirrors what the Weimar Republic was in Germany. So I thought I'd take a bit of a close look. And to be quite honest, the overall outcome is, can you trust the word they say? Because the old place is fake.
Well, this is something I've been wondering myself, is are there any celebrities that aren't anti-white? are there any that aren't just doing their best to replace the white race as fast as possible and calling for all the things that are harmful to us and damaging our societies? And just about everything you can think of, these celebrities support. Immigration, race mixing, homosexuality, even pedophilia. You look at Roman Polanski and some of these Jewish producers, directors that like to make films about pedophilia, basically. Lolita, that's supposed to be one of the best films ever made, and yet that's about an underage girl, isn't it? There are lots of Hollywood movies like that, aren't there? Teachers and children. It's so degenerate. Yet when you look at what Germany was like after the Weimar period, once Adolf Hitler was in power, the films they were producing were really moral and upstanding and virtuous, and they tried to improve the people's lives that were actually watching the movies. They wanted to have wholesome stuff in the movies. And when you look at it now, it's all degenerate, isn't it?
Well, I think the common denominator of that list that you just mentioned, immigration, paedophilia, homosexuality, that is pretty much the Masonic outlook, the Jewish Babylonian outlook from Hollywood. So that doesn't really surprise me. But it's the lengths they go to cover things up, like I was researching the actors at the time. I mean, I can't believe for 1 minute. I mean, I'm going back a bit. I mean, you probably can't remember Rudolf Valentino. But there was like 80,000 at his funeral, riots in the street, and women committing suicide because this great lover are, supposed to be portrayed on screen as a great lover. His actual nickname, do you want to know what his nickname was?
Go on.
The Pink Powder Puff.
And
women were committing suicide over this guy who actually, I think he had a burst appendix and died. But because they were so infatuated on the silver screen, they honestly did believe that he was what they were portraying. In fact, he was bisexual. He would take a man or a woman, whatever turned.
This is like Rock Hudson, isn't it, as well?
Well, I mean, we'll definitely get to that guy in time as well. But I mean, it goes all the way through the eras. I mean, you've got to remember from the Weimar Republic, you know, Dietrich was one. She left, and we can talk about her as well. And they had a real problem around about the 30s because, believe it or not, in them early days, it was really probably a lot worse than what even the sexual revolution was in the 60s. It was getting really out of hand. And I think some of it must have happened for them because they had a production code in 1933, which was like self-regulating. And they had to do this because they were getting so much pressure. But it must have been pressure from high up because, well, Jews only move two things. They don't, you know, they get threatened with financially or, you know, maybe someone like McCarthy, who did investigate communism and did link homosexuality to communism, you know, was on the tail as well. But certainly in 1933, they brought this self-regulating code out where someone like Louis Mayer of MGM actually instructed people who to marry, whether the lesbians, women, you know, would marry a gay man for cover. They'd call these women beards, as in a disguise. And, you know, this went on all the way through. I mean, James Dean was another one. I mean, I can remember watching the James Dean story where, I mean, all this hullabaloo of being a great actor, he came from Broadway straight into a big movie. In the James Dean story, he's actually tapped up in a gay bar and goes back to a party at 12 o'clock at night and obviously does favours. Next thing, he's in this big movie, we aren't even having a trial.
So basically, the actors and the actresses as well have been homosexual for decades. And what they used to do is cover that up and ensure that they got married so that there was a sham marriage for the public to see.
Lavender marriages.
Lavender marriages. I've heard the phrase beards before for the wife of someone who's homosexual. Poor woman sleeping with in the same bed as something that's been engaging in that sort of behaviour. It's vile.
Well, whether or not they slept in the same bed, I don't know. I mean, they may well have had separate bedrooms, but I know somebody like Garbo, Greta Garbo, believe it or not, who was notably a sex symbol of her time, hated men, detested men.
Well, another side from this is that these men that you're talking about, James Dean and Marlon Brando and Rock Hudson, they were all put across as macho men. These were the men that the white man was supposed to emulate and be like. They put them across as the action hero on the big screen so that young lads look up to these men and think, I want to be like that. And in actual fact, the actors are all homosexual.
Yeah.
So they're basically teaching young people to emulate homosexuals, and
well, that's they're not found out, which unfortunately Rock Hudson did do the hard way.
Well, he got AIDS, didn't he? And died of AIDS.
Exactly. Yeah, but even then he was denying it right to the very end.
it's no real surprise then that they've managed to roll back the age of consent years from 21 to 16 it is now, and managed to push it so far that they've managed to say that sodomy is the same thing as the act of consummation of a marriage. And it's no wonder they managed to do that. If they were subtly pushing this in the movies right back then in the 30s, if they were slowly pushing it through the movies.
Well, I don't think they were slowly pushing it. I think it got to a point where they had to stop because of the pressure. They were really rolling out the boat, I think. I mean, you know, Dietrich was actually kissing women on screen. You know, things like what your American audience, you know, North American audience didn't really want to see, just like the German audience didn't want to see. And so they had to put the brakes on it.
Well, I think one of the ways they try to excuse it is with the emotions, isn't it? They try to get you to feel sorry for the character. I remember Tom Hanks doing a movie about being a lawyer or something to do with somebody having AIDS, And the whole point of the movie was to get you to feel sorry for people that had AIDS, get you to feel sorry for the homosexuals. They don't show you the homosexual act because they know that everybody would be repulsed by that.
They show you
the poor homosexual dying from AIDS, a disease which he had no, he couldn't possibly have known he was going to get. Never mind the fact that he was having sex with a different man every night, sodomizing a different man every night. Of course these homosexuals are going to get some kind of disease from doing that. And yet they'll try and pretend that this is just a disease that anyone can get, this immune deficiency syndrome. It's only been in the last couple of decades that they've claimed that it was actually a disease and it was a virus that was causing it. It's basically their immune system has been broken down. Too much drugs, too much anal sex, too much feces in the bloodstream, and that's broken down the immune system. And yet, somehow they've managed to get us all feeling sorry for these people, Dennis.
Yeah, well, you got to blame somebody like Aleister Crowley for all that, because he's the guiding light again in Hollywood. All these actors kind of come out with T-shirts on, and even the music industry. And as you said, the things you just listed that were just absolutely abhorrent to the normal person is standard in Hollywood, because, you know, Crowley did do his best to degrade himself and push it to the limits. But it goes to a point where the Hollywood establishment, shall we say, they even at one point, they probably still do it today. In fact, maybe the police are more involved today, but at one stage they used to remove evidence from the scene of a crime. Just say, for instance, there was a drunken driver thing, something was going on with one of the stars, because they had that much money, financially invested in them over a long period of time, that they looked at their commodity to be, looked after and kept out of the public, public eye on any crimes going, you know, before the police could get there. So that in itself is a crime, removing this evidence. This is what went on. And like I said, I think today, there's a certain air of belief that the police kind of turn a blind eye to a lot of things in Hollywood anyway. Because Hollywood, in a way, kind of reminds me, where I was looking at this, it was a bit like that little one square mile in London, and, you know, the little square mile in the Vatican and the square mile in Washington. This in itself is a little place, you know, with its own rules, I think.
Tinseltown. A lot of these actors and actresses, they've had to sleep with somebody to get to where they are. And once they
are... Not usually the best-looking people.
This is a casting couch, isn't it? And once they've been in the movies and they're famous, then, of course, there are rich people that want to sleep with them. You know, I should imagine that they then get hired out. But actresses like Marilyn Monroe. And then when you can extend it from that to these child actors that they have... And of course, we hear about that, don't we? Of these child actors that are used by child abusers, basically, and that's how they got to where they are.
Yeah. Well, what people don't understand is that 99% of people in Hollywood are not working. It's just like 1% at any one given time. And so, obviously, you know, the easiest way to make money if you're, you know, in that kind of environment, shall we say, and you're good looking, whether you're a male or a female, is prostitution. And a lot of actors and actresses have turned to prostitution, to the point where, when you mention these rich people, you get these people over in the Middle East, in, you know, Saudi Arabia, Bahrain. They see a good looking actress on TV and they've got the money to fly them over and, entertain them for the week or the weekend. Has been going on for quite some time.
Well, when you think about it, acting is similar to being a prostitute, isn't it? A prostitute has got to pretend that she's enjoying it. She's got to pretend that she's the lover of her John for the night.
You're more in tune with this than me.
Actors are doing the same. Actors are doing the same, aren't they?
Exactly. Yeah. Well, this is why you can't believe a word they're saying either, because when Reagan became president, he was an actor. And, you know, if he wanted to put on a facade of being miserable, even though you're really happy inside, it could quite easily do it, you know, opposite as well, you know.
So they're in a dishonest game right from the start. They're
not to the core. Dishonest. Yeah, I mean, it all started with the Jews. Obviously, they came over from, say, you know, the Ukraine or Russia. They were kicked out over there. They came into New York. New York, although it's still heavily Jewish today, but at that time, you know, there was, you know, the Protestants over there were much in power with the movie industry. So eventually these Jews went out to Hollywood. They were pretty street smart as well. They were into the Kabbalah. They realized that the power of the motion picture, and it didn't take them long like to be able to set the place up and rule that place. They couldn't get anywhere in New York, not the way they wanted anyway. So, and that's what it all led to. Then you got the influx from Germany as well, because this is the new Babylon coming. And hence we've got this situation today where, many more want to be politicians. So that was something to look forward to.
Well, I was just thinking about it as well. People look at the Hollywood industry, the movie industry, and the television industry, and they idolize these people, and they think it's just entertainment. They think it's just a way for them to escape their troubles and escape the problems that they've got at home, and they can just watch a movie for 2 hours and imagine that they're the hero or they're the heroine if it's a romance. And what people don't realize is that that's not the point of the movie. The movie isn't there to help you to escape. The movie is there to change your behavior, to change your thinking, to change the way that you think about these things, especially things like transgender, homosexuality, race mixing, immigration even. I'm just waiting for there to be movies out about people trying to break into Europe.
Sad, sorrowful one.
Yeah, they'll be making a movie about the dead Turkish boy on the beach whose dad wanted to get his teeth seen to in Europe. They'll be making some sob story about that. Just waiting for that.
Well, just think how many people that would reach. Unreal. I mean, I saw a video of Beyonce, and nearly a billion hits. It kind of makes my documentary look kind of just over a million at the time before it was banned, look a bit, lost in the dark.
Well, this is where it dovetails in with the rest of the entertainment industry, isn't it? You've got the actors that are all singing off the same hymn sheet, and then you've got people like Beyonce and Jay-Z and these other musicians, I suppose you could say quote-unquote musicians, most of them are rap artists, but they're all saying the same thing, aren't they? They're all attacking Donald Trump. They're all saying we need more immigration, we need open borders, we need to promote homosexuality. I mean, just 20 years ago, you never would have seen musicians promoting homosexuality. I used to like heavy metal, and you can never imagine any heavy metal singers promoting that. I remember being really shocked when I found out that the singer from Judas Priest was homosexual. And I thought, how could that possibly be? How could there be a heavy metal band with a queer singer? Everyone was hating. Nobody would want to go and see the band play. That was the attitude that people had.
I mean, I don't think it's bad today, because, I mean, I think if there's a leading man gay in a Hollywood film, that affects the box office. So they tend to use, as in the Tom Hanks film, a straight man to play a gay because they feel the audience is more safer. But in the music industry today, you've got people like Elton John and a handful of others. I can't really think of one, just died at Christmas. We're openly gay, but had lots of fans. So, there's a message in there somewhere, should I say.
I think, wasn't it Pete Burns from Dead or Alive? Did he die recently? That might have been the one you were thinking of at Christmas. Now, look at the state
George, George Michael, that's the one I was thinking.
Hi, George Michael. There's so many of them. So many of them are homosexual.
Well, put it this way. There were some great love songs in the 70s and 80s. And then once I found out the act was gay, it killed it, because obviously he's singing it to his boyfriend. So I could never listen to that song the same way again.
It's revolting. Well, another thing that the music industry has pushed, and this is fairly recent, is feminism. You used to get singers, women that sang, and they were feminine. Yeah, and they weren't trying to be super sexy. You like Kate Bush and singers in the 70s. They weren't slutty. They were proper artists. And then you had Spice Girls, who really didn't have any musical talent whatsoever. And they're just talking about ziggy zig. Oh, look at me in the miniskirt and sex sells. And apparently this is feminism. Girl power. Flash your legs and you can get whatever you want. And then after that, there were all these different girl bands. None of them got any talent whatsoever. And they're just pushing this idea that women can do whatever they want. Women don't need to settle down. We did all this. And there's always
we don't need a man, yeah.
There's always
is it just me? Is everyone that I've ever met ugly?
Compared to the celebrities. Well, they're all airbrushed, aren't they? They're all airbrushed. All the celebrities are airbrushed. But every one of those... Every one of those girl bands that are pushed forward, there's a man, a white man in the background that's writing the music.
And usually a Jew as well.
Well, the Jew's usually the manager, isn't he? He's the one that's creaming all the money off the top.
Record producers and all them, yeah.
All of this is pushed by the music industry and Hollywood, the entertainment industry.
Same crew, yeah.
It's all completely weaponized against white people. It's all pushing things that are harmful to white people. There's nothing wholesome in it.
When they've got the media as well. I mean, you know yourself, they've got the media tied up, so they've got the music industry tied up, and they've got the movie industry tied up. There isn't much left that needs to be tied up if you're going to reach a big audience.
No, this is why we've been very lucky to develop the internet, isn't it? This is why we've
managed to get our space. To know the level what I would know if there was no internet. It's terrifying.
At least we've got a space to ourselves here where we can try and push something that's virtuous to people, so that they don't have to be entertained by the filth that's on the film and the television. They can learn about what really went on during the war and what's really going on now and how everything's been weaponized against us. Mm-hmm. I think one of these tactics that they use is to get us to feel sorry for people we shouldn't be feeling sorry for, isn't it?
Well, especially I can't feel sorry for somebody who is quite ugly and mouthy and kind of saying, you know, men don't really have to exist, especially now that we can, you know, they test you babies and all this kind of carry on. I mean, that's just, you know, I put them on an island and just blow it up, to be frank.
Well, one of the things they push for is the human rights, isn't it? Human rights for all, especially the Hollywood actors saying that people that have been banned from coming into America, it's their human right to come into America. Never mind the fact that their country never developed rights for their own people, let alone human rights for everyone. This very idea of human rights, that seems to me to be a weapon against white people. You don't rarely you hear of straight white men that have ever made any use from any human rights legislation. It's always foreigners or homosexuals that are using it, especially foreigners that use it and say that it's their human right to not actually have to go back to their own country of birth, their own country of origin, because they might get shot or attacked because they're rapists or because they're transsexuals.
While I'm here, you must feed me and dress me.
Yeah.
And put a roof over my head, yeah.
Great. Yeah, the whole idea of human rights seems to me that's what it was developed for.
I think it was. We go back to the clergy thing, and you know, I mean, like they say, you see a child of mixed race now, and he's known as a child of clergy.
The human rights legislation, that's the one that has the genocide. You cannot commit a genocide against people. That's a crime. To any policy that will replace any ethnicity with another ethnicity or anything designed to do that, anything that will just have the side effect of doing that is genocide. Yet somehow that doesn't apply to what's being done to white people. How is that?
No, or the Palestinians for that matter. It's like they've got one rule for another and, you know, the other one for the elite choose. And at the moment, the homosexuals and the Muslims are the vanguard, I think, of breaking down, you know, society in Europe, in America, and now in Canada and also in Australia. These Western countries where the white man was once dominant is now under attack. And what really amuses me is the fact that if it ever comes off and Sharia law is brought into these places, then we're going to see homosexuals thrown off the top of rooftops.
There won't be any human rights then. Under Sharia law. This is the thing. We apply human rights to people that would never dream of having human rights in their own countries. who would never dream of giving the same rights to a Christian that they give to a Muslim, and yet somehow they've been conned into applying our human rights legislation to people that don't show any humanity.
Yeah, well, it's just crazy because this Muslim agenda will probably lead to Sharia law eventually in Britain and these other places I mentioned, because that's what the Quran teaches. At the end of the day, you know, for a Muslim to go against that, he then can suffer the wrath of the rest of Islam. So, although the Jews are the instigators, we know, and they're bringing this policy in with all this immigration to destroy us, you know, the Muslims themselves, in fact, there's a number of Muslims enjoying the fact that at this moment in time we are under attack, and they seize the opportunity. I mean, you look at Luton down south there, it's just a, well, what is it? I mean, that is Baghdad.
Well, the Muslims know what they're doing. They know that they're moved into Britain and they're taking the country over. They know that within 70 years there'll be more Muslims than anyone else. And they know that it's jihad, whether it's the immigration jihad, whether it's the birth jihad.
Soft jihad, isn't it?
Terrorism jihad. It's all jihad. It's all take over the Kafir's countries for our own and then force them to either become Muslim or become slaves. That's their human rights law. Everyone must become a Muslim. And yet somehow our altruism and our sense of fair play has been used against us so that we then apply it to our enemies, to the enemies of God.
Exactly, via Hollywood and via the media and via the music industry. These are all vehicles which are there. More times than not, it's very subtle, that message, but sometimes it's well in your face as well. So, you know, we can't search for excuses, because I'm quite sure if you don't know by now what that agenda is, then you're either supporting it or you're just plain ignorant.
Well, this human rights law, do you think that was brought in deliberately to do all of this then?
Yeah, I do, yeah. I think anything they do, when I look at things now, I mean, I totally look at Hollywood movies, totally different now, because there's an agenda in there. I mean, we were talking before the show, where they're trying to change these people's sexes for remakes of films, and this Beauty and the Beast has got this kind of thing in it. But it's obvious, you know what I mean? Like, there's a subtle agenda to it, to every movie. Even when you go back to the future, and you see, you know, Libyan tourists coming into that square, so automatically you've got umpteen million viewers looking at Libyans as tourists. It's all, you know, when I look back, everything is back. It's all nuts and bolts to this main agenda.
So it all has this agenda of being against white people, no matter what it is, whether it's the UN being put together, whether it's Hollywood making films, whether it's the music industry. If it's got Jews involved in it, then it's going to have this ultimate aim of helping the Jews and going against white people, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's another one. Education systems, another one that they've took over as well. So then they can manipulate children.
Well, I was just going to say that you brought up Disney. I expect most of the listeners are aware. I mean, this has been quite a shocking story that's come out this week. Disney are about to introduce a gay character in the remake of Beauty and the Beast. And they say that this gay character is going to explore his homosexuality with the hero in the film. He's going to explore his sexuality. What, they're going to sodomize one another in a children's film?
Well, it won't surprise me.
Children to see?
Well, Disney World itself has a couple of weeks set aside every year for gays to go along and enjoy themselves with their partners. So, you know, Disney has been one of the most forefront of the music, sorry, the movie industry of pushing this agenda. From the time that they bought the rights off, the Jews bought the rights when Disney died.
Yeah, I was going to say, it wasn't always that way, was it? The Jews took over Disney and basically turned it politically correct.
Kept the name, yeah.
It's like Dr. Seuss used to be racially aware. I was looking at some of his cartoons the other day. He was really racially aware of what was going on with the immigration agenda. And then they hit all that and they sort of promote his books now. I noticed that Melania Trump was reading from a Dr. Seuss book for World Reading Day, which I thought was good. I thought, well, that's good. Yeah, is that signalling to his anti-immigration past? Just a bit of whatever it is there. Trivia that I noticed the other day.
Yeah, but I don't think I'm out of line by saying that, you know, things are brought in for a reason or things are updated for a reason. I mean, they're making so many remakes now of films, and all that really is reaffirming the point of the agenda they made a number of years back and now being reaffirmed again on the population, because you're getting quite a number of films being remade. I mean, why they even thought of making something like Ben-Hur again, because the characters were so same with Magnificent Seven. These were films which weren't expected to be big hits but had such charismatic characters in them that actually to redo them is nothing but an injustice. But they will do it and they will push their agenda.
Well, another part of this agenda seems to be with these historical dramas is inserting Negroes into them, where there shouldn't be any Negroes, where there were no Negroes.
James Bond will be the next one. Will he be gay, or will he be a Negro, or will he be both?
Well, I think they're doing something on 1066 in the invasion of William the Norman, the Norman invasion of Britain, and they've got Negroes in it, Negro horsemen in it.
Yeah, well, they had one in the Robin Hood one, didn't they? Must be the only Negro at the time anywhere in England. Morgan Freeman played the part in Robin Hood, if you remember.
Yeah, well, there was also a recent series to do with myths that they had on the BBC with mythological gods and goddesses in it, and these Greek gods and goddesses were played by Pakistanis. Aryans, as they're described, blonde Aryans were dark-haired Pakistanis.
BBC are in no position to educate anybody either with their track record, but there you go.
Well, this is another side of it, isn't it? I mean, this is what the children are seeing. This is what they're watching. This is the excitement is on the television and in the movies.
Absolutely.
And the heroes that they're taught to look up to are homosexuals and people from another race. So they identify with the homosexuals and the people from another race. And instead of looking out for their own race, they feel angry and embarrassed and ashamed of their own race because they're constantly taught that their own race are racists and they hate homosexuals and they've done all these terrible things in the past. And what they really want to be like is the clever, intelligent black man that saves the day at the end of the movie, because he's always wise and intelligent.
I know some homosexuals who don't understand what's going on today. I mean, they can't understand why, for instance, Eurovision Song Contest, the guy wore a dress but had a beard, because they just didn't connect with it. These are a lot older, you know, than what today's gays would be like. And they're shaking their heads. You know, they're not the kind to go walking in the street shouting, "We're going to rule the world," like. Whereas today, this is what you're getting. You're getting a lot of, I mean, Coronation Street, for instance, well known over here in the UK, you have a big fleet, a massive fleet in the gay parade, and if you notice on Coronation Street and most of the soaps in Britain, push the gay agenda constantly.
Oh, they're constantly pushing that. I mean, they get together. They have a group of them called the Knitting Circle, where they get together with all the producers of all the soap operas in Britain. And the government goes to them. They have their nudge department from the government, which was specifically created to engineer social attitudes among the British public. And they go to this Knitting Circle and they say, well, this is what we want to promote. This is what we want to change. We want to change the public's perception of immigration. We want to change the public's perception of transsexuals. So you must put in these friendly, helpful immigrants that are being badly treated by the whites and that are highly intelligent, and the same with homosexuals.
That is so true, because I can remember Cameron actually coming out and saying people should watch Coronation Street if you want to learn about life. That is so true, what you just said.
Well, yeah. I remember him doing it. It was called the Nudge Department or the Nudge something. That was the slang name that they had for it. That was the short name that they had for this department. But that was specifically what it was for. Social engineering.
Look how many people they reach in an evening. Because one will flick to another one. One will flick to another. One will tape them all. Maybe five soaps going in a night. You know what I mean? And some women watch them all. Millions, and that's where you get this, like I say, this affinity to these. When being pushed on them, you've got to feel sorry for them, or make it look like it's normal, you know, two blokes kissing on a settee at tea time.
They're always trying to make that normal. If you think about the transsexuals and what a tiny, tiny, tiny percentage of the population that must actually be, and yet they had a transsexual on EastEnders at the same time as they had a transsexual on Coronation Street. I don't know if they had one on the others, but they probably did, because they must have been told to do that by the government.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you there. I really am.
And it's all about shaping the way that people think. I mean, at any one time, if you want to know the way that the government want you to think, then just watch one of these soap operas. Watch who the bad guys are, and watch who the good guys are, and learn who it is that everyone else around you is looking up to. Because most people don't see that; they don't realize it. They just think it's entertainment.
I don't watch them that often, but I may just give them a watch just to see what you're saying there, because it probably goes even deeper than what I imagine.
Right, so it's there in all of them. I've mentioned this before in one of the other programs this week or last week, but they recently, in one of the soap operas, they had a white man that was a bus driver, and he drove his bus into the market and flattened everyone in the market. Now, these white people don't do this. This is Islamic terrorism.
Arabs don't do this, do they?
But they want the young people to think that white people do this. They want people to hear that someone has driven a bus into a market on the news, and they want people to instantly associate that with what they just saw on the soap opera. A white man had a heart attack and did it, or a white man fell asleep at the wheel and did it. And this is why on the news, when they say that a truck has just been used as a weapon and wiped out all these people, they don't tell you the race of the driver. They don't tell you that he's a Muslim. They say, oh, we don't know who he is yet. Oh, he's a German citizen. And the average person...
Let's say something else as well, what I noticed, the History Channel. Now, we all know the History Channel, what they stand for, obviously Jewish-owned. But they're very clever and very subtle. What they do now these days, I mean, you've got a History Channel 2 as well, is that they actually react their lies. So if they're saying something about World War II, which we know not to be true, they'll do a program on it and have professional actors in, and it will look exactly like this is the truth, because these actors now are portraying these soldiers or whatever. And it's a very subtle way of doing it. And I noticed that the other night, you know, it's, you know, people who don't really know what we know, you know, just going into it, we don't mind, etc., will be totally blown away and thinking that this is real, this has really happened. And so that's just another ball to the error.
It's all about shaping the way that people think and getting them to think in ways that are harmful to white people. And when you're saying earlier that whether it's the UN or whether it's the movies, it's going to be anti-white people. If it has foreigners involved, then it's going to be anti-white people anyway. I was having a conversation with somebody earlier, and they were talking about, oh, we can have allies with the Japanese or allies with some of these Asians. And they can't be allies, because they're our competitors. They are our biological competitors. At the most fundamental level, we have a limited territory that we live in, and we have limited resources. And any of these other people groups, they are our competitors at the best, and they are a threat at the worst. If they're living within our own countries, then they're a biological threat to us, because they're going to sleep with our women. If the males are in a territory, the females come with the rights of owning the territory. So if you've got another race that's living in your country, they are going to be more than... you know, they are going to be a threat. They're not going to be competitors, because they could be sleeping with white women.
They're there, to be honest. They're not there for any other reason. I'm looking back now over history, when, you know, the first influx of Jamaicans came in from after World War II, and then, you know, the influx of all the Asians are still coming in as well over this time. And, you know, you don't tend to think that deeply about it. You just think, oh, you know, they've come for a better life and, you know, it's not going to really affect anything. But it was actually brought in to destroy us. That is the message, what is coming out loud and clear.
Right. Well, this is the thing. You can look at them and think, oh, well, they're not harmful. But if you allow these other races to do things on the television, write books, control the newspapers, produce their own writing, produce their own work, all of it is going to be anti the white man, because it doesn't come from a white man. It comes from another people group. And that people group sees the white man as a competitor and as a threat. That's why they come to this country, to take what we have, to live on our territory, to expand their own territory. We have all these different people groups in the world, and every single one of them wants to expand its own territory because it's limited, isn't it?
That's right. But if I and a group of Christians went to, say, Saudi Arabia, would they allow me to build a Christian church?
No, they wouldn't.
Well, you sure they wouldn't?
They know.
You know, moths all over the place.
They know at a fundamental level that if we were to go over there and build churches, that's a piece of ours there, then.
And rightly so. If that's their belief over there, then fair enough. But shouldn't that apply to us?
Well, it should do. It applies to everyone else. That's what I mean. All these other people groups, they know that. And it comes out when you see them being interviewed. They will come out with this anti-white language. They know they're being anti-white. But a lot of the white people that suck up to them and go along with what they're saying, they don't realise that what's actually being said is anti-white. They think what they're saying is just egalitarian and it's just good for everybody. But the people that are actually saying it, these other races that are saying that, they know damn well that it's anti-white and it benefits their own people.
Yeah. And the left, obviously, I mean, they push the agenda because that is their agenda. I mean, that's what communism is.
And I got a good example of this as well. They're talking about something that Donald Trump was saying or done recently on the news, and they brought a Jew on there to discuss it, and he was saying, well, what about the rest of us? This is the problem. What about the rest of the world? What about the rest of the world? That might be good for America, but what about the rest of the world? Well, Donald Trump isn't there for the rest of the world. He's there for America. And only somebody who did not have America's best interests at heart would be suggesting that Donald Trump should be doing things for the rest of the world instead of doing things for America. And that's the way these Jews work.
I wish that, you know, in all the years that I've known politics in the UK, not one person has actually said, let's make the UK great again. Not one. It's always been, we need more cuts, the health, and, you know, the people on the healthcare, you know, we're going to cut back on this and people are going to lose beds. And it's just, it's a continuous, every government, excuse me, has taught cuts, cuts, cuts. And yet people, the elite, are getting richer. I'm quite sure the Queen's on much more money now than what she was in the 1970s. But the general public, the wages are a lot lower. And it's just, to me, it's the same agenda. Exactly the same.
Well, if white people say, let's make Britain great again, then that's racist to the rest of the world, because you're saying you want to make Britain better than the rest of the world. This is the way they get away with it. They use these sophisticated arguments to suggest that is racist to do that, because you should be caring about the whole of humanity. You should be doing what's best for all of humanity, not what's best just for yourself. And they'll try and say, well, it's selfish to be just doing what's best for yourself. You want to do what's best for everyone. Well, you want to do what's best for your nation, not what's best for the individual, but what's best for the nation. But you can't do what's best for the world without harming yourself and helping all the other people rather than yourself, which is why these Jews have pushed for this. And people go along with it because they think that it's just a generous, egalitarian way to be.
That's right. That's
human
right.
rights, human rights, humanity. We're all a part of the human race.
Yeah.
So what we do has got to be good for everybody rather than what we do has got to be good for us. And that is the kernel of it. That's the way that the other races instinctively think we want to be doing what's best for us, for our people group.
Yeah, well, the problem is it's no different to an actual war. Because when the head of police in Norway says Oslo's capital of Norway is lost, that's no different than an invasion and it's been taken by force. It's an actual war, what's going on all around us. And most people are just blind to it.
Well, they have taken over. Whether they use guns or whether they don't, whether they just use sheer weight of numbers, they've still taken over. Those areas are no-go areas for white people. White people can't go there. They're full of Muslims or they're full of blacks. So they have taken over that area. If you look at London, 60% non-white. But what the government and the left will say, but it's 10% Muslim and it's 10% Jamaican and it's 10% Negro. No, it's 60% non-white. 60% of it isn't white. The white area is in the minority.
So, I mean, London's fallen, hasn't it, really, again?
Oh, yes, it has fallen.
It's got a Muslim mayor.
Again, that just shows you, doesn't it? And yet the left will say, oh, well, that's fine because we've got white mayors as well. We've got white mayors
in our cities. Well, we shouldn't have them anyway.
They should all be white because it's a white country, because it's our country.
Sure it will be all Arab in Saudi Arabia, I'll tell you now. I've never been there.
They'll all be Pakistani and Muslim in Pakistan, and that's perfectly fine. And that's the natural way to be. We've been taught to act against our own nature and against our own interests.
Incredibly, really. I mean, how they've done it is just unreal. But as we said early on, they've got the means. I mean, even with social media now as well, you know, they're making inroads there. I mean, we're getting banned off Facebook left, right, and centre. You know, any kind of comments against their agenda, you're off.
Well, you're fake news if you don't go along with the anti-white agenda. They'll all club together and call you fake news. Never mind the fact that they're the ones that were shown to be falsifying the news, falsifying the polls, falsifying these stories against Donald Trump. I'm not aware of any of our websites being shown to have been showing false news at all, any of the news stories being shown to be false. It's only the mainstream
the
media.
If we show the truth, that's the problem what they have
with it. Well, we are Truth Without Radio, because we do try to get to the truth on this podcast, and also obviously in the alt-right. And with most citizen journalists trying to get to the truth, they're not trying to push an agenda. But as soon as you get to the mainstream media level of things, they've all got an agenda to push. If you look at the journalist guidelines, they're not allowed to print any story that shows the right in a positive light. They're not allowed to interview anyone from the right, because that would be giving the fascists a platform. So they all have an agenda to push, which comes before actually reporting the truth.
The problem as well is, like, if you go back in time to the times when Islam was trying to take over Europe, and you know, we had the battles and everything, like, you know, the problem this time is that they've got people behind the gate. They've got the infiltration of the Jews are behind opening up the gates, changing the laws, making sure that that these people can come in without or with whatever passports. They don't really care to judge them. They'll just look at the colour. Yeah, come on in. And that's the problem. They've got this behind the doors infiltration of people opening them up and letting them in. And it's a real problem.
Well, it is exactly the same as that. You know, in the Middle Ages, there would have been a city gate, and they would have been there opening up the gates. And they did do that. They did that in Spain. Yep. Are they doing it with a philosophical gate or an imaginary gate that they're using now? They're using the film and the television and their talking heads that they have and the politicians to all advocate for immigration, which is an allegorical way of opening up the gate to the city, isn't it? That's what they're doing.
Yeah, and they're also destroying that, the belief in God as well. I mean, I noticed the other day they came out that they can now create life from the stem of a rat or a pig or something. I mean, you know, if they think themselves as gods, these Masons, and, you know, they're trying to outdo the man himself, which is, keep telling them it's impossible to do it, but, you know, they do believe they can.
Well, they'll word things as if they have created life, but of course they haven't. They've taken some life that's already there and done something with it, twisted it, warped it. But they certainly haven't created life. They can't create life. No one can create life. They what they do is they destroy life. They're good at destroying life, killing life, in the womb. That's what they excel at, and destroying people's lives, ruining people's lives.
Well, that's interesting again, because on Sky last night, another, I mean, if you weren't aware of this, like we are, it would just, you know, be taken, you know, as natural. But they had an episode on Sky News saying that because Trump has now said to these countries in Africa, if there's any link with abortions or anything like that, we're going to cut your aid. And so they had this thing on Sky last night showing how catastrophic it's going to be with, you know, women's committing suicide and witch doctors having to give them these portions now and all this kind of carry on. It's aimed again at people feeling sorry for them. And, you know, just because people can get abortions in this country or in America at the moment or in Europe, it must be right. No, because the biggest Holocaust of all time is the 50 billion babies in America.
Well, Negroes don't really, they don't bother with birth control anyway. They're quite happy to have a litter of 10 or 12 children. The average children they have in some African countries is 8 or 9. Yeah, they just produce lots and lots of offspring because that's the way they look after themselves when they're in old age. That's just the natural way that they are. And they produce twice as many eggs that white females do. And this is why they have far more twins than the white race does. They're far, far more fertile. But I don't believe they go in for abortions that much because they haven't got the technology to do something like that. They haven't got the technology in most places to go in for abortions. They would just have the offspring. And 100 years ago, if they had more than enough, they would just sell a few. That was the economy.
Well, the funny thing is that when I heard Trump had said this, you know, saying that we're not going to give you the aid if, you know, the country's pro-abortion, Cameron actually said the same to another African country who was Christian and didn't want anything to do with homosexuals. And so Cameron said to these, if you don't, then we're going to cut your aid. So it's tit for tat, isn't it? It's weird how this world is turning out.
Well, it's the New World Order, the New World Order system that they use to force these other countries to break down their morals and to allow homosexuality. That's why it's so good that we've got Trump that's at the top now, who can use that apparatus to do good things, like withdrawing all the money for abortions that was being sent out around the world by America. That's no longer going to go on. Now, you think of the good things that could be done if we had control of Hollywood and television and music. You think of the things we could put on the big screen, exposing the truth. But put your film at the theatres so that people went out to the cinema to watch your documentary series, Dennis. That's the sort of thing that could be done with control of the movie industry and the television industry. Now, I've always thought this. We have the structure to do some amazing good if only we could take control of it. This is why I have such hope in what Donald Trump can do now that he's the president of America, because that is a very powerful position. Even though these organizations are going to be against him, that they still have to do what he says. And we know they're going to kick up like hell about it and try as much as they can not to go along with what he says. But if he's careful about the way he does it and he keeps within the law, they have to. They've got no choice. So he
well,
could
this is
do
why
a lot,
Hollywood
a lot
is
of good.
Going up against him, or you know, certainly saying to people, you know, to fight him every inch of the way, because he is going to get, I mean, abortion is one of them. I mean, there's other things that Trump's against as well. Some of these states with the transgender toilets, there's something about that, about him changing some things on them lines as well, which again goes against the Hollywood agenda. So you can see why these actors are all coming out, you know, but unfortunately for them, can't even pull out the correct winner of a film.
No, I saw that. I did wonder if there was some diversity involved in the company that was supposed to be looking after those envelopes. But if you allow foreigners to take control of any of your media, any of the publishing organisations, then they are going to put out information that is harmful to your people. and is beneficial to their own people. That's right. That is how this has happened. We allowed Jews to come into our countries. They were usually brought in by conquerors. They were brought in by William the Norman into Britain, yeah, and then kicked out. And then they were brought in again by William of Orange after Cromwell killed the previous king. So these Jews were brought into our countries. They were given control of the banking system because the rich aristocrats thought that would make them even richer. And once they were in, yeah, they were able to buy up these companies. This is one of the things that Bashar al-Assad did in Syria, was say that no foreigner can buy any businesses, no foreigner can buy any land. Because this is what a nationalist does. Nationalists, exactly, look after their people and they look after their country. And they say, no, how could you sell part of your homeland to a foreigner? It doesn't make sense, does it? And yet somehow we've been conned into thinking it's perfectly fine to have our businesses owned by Japanese, Chinese, Jewish, all over the world. All over the world. Even our nuclear power stations, they're giving over to the Chinese to work on.
There has to be an agenda. There's no other way of looking at it. And if people can look at things through their eyes, they will see it. They will see it.
Well, what they said, once the Jews came in, they said, well, now we're living here. You've got to let us own a bit of land. You've got to let us own some businesses. If you let us own some businesses, we'll make more money for you and the economy will grow. So they sell it like that. And then once they're in there, they say, oh, look how much money we've made for you. You should float this on the market and you should allow some of these other foreigners to buy up bits of your land and buy up bits of your businesses and allow them into your films and into your television and allow them to replace white people on the films and the television, because it would be racist not to have black news presenters, black actors, black comedians. Never mind the fact that when they first came over here, they said, we're bringing them over here to do the jobs that the white man doesn't want to do. Now they're saying it's racist not to replace all the white men with them in all the jobs the white men would love to do.
Well, can I just say this before, I just wanted to get this one in. You must surely remember the actor who went with a prostitute, Hugh Grant, remember?
Yeah, I remember.
Right, well, apparently Hugh Grant, it was rumoured at the time, was gay. And the quick way to kill that rumour was for him to go out. Although he was dating one of the most gorgeous women in the world, well, we assume, I mean, he was married to her, but she was obviously a beard. The quickest way to kill that rumour was to go with a black crack whore, which was blatantly plastered all over the papers, and his career never suffered. But that is the reason, apparently, why that story blew, to save him from being found out that he was gay.
Wasn't it a transsexual, though, that he went with? I thought it was a black transsexual.
Well, it may well have been. It may well have been. But the thing was that nobody in the right mind would think that somebody who was not masculine would go with a prostitute.
Well, nobody would have guessed 20, 30 years ago that these macho film stars were homosexual, would they?
Well, I didn't even know Freddie Mercury were that naive. And his band were called Queen.
Well, this is just it. You just don't think that people would be that depraved.
Exactly.
You don't think people would be that depraved. And you think if they were that depraved, nobody would be promoting them. But you think that when you don't realise it's all run by these Jews. And that's what they're trying to do is promote depravity.
Yeah. And Brian May, of course, is a Freemason.
Well, I think he is. He's an astronomer as well. That's what they do. It's all about promoting what's good for the Jews and what's bad for the white people. No matter what it is. And even if it isn't Jews, even if it's these other races, they are always going to be promoting what's best for them and what's bad for us. It's basic biology.
It's a natural instinct, isn't it?
Yeah. Limited territory, limited resources. You're going to always be doing what's best for your people. And we don't do what's best for ours because we let these foreigners in. And now we're doing what's worse for ours because we've given them a voice. This is why we should not allow anyone other than whites to have a voice in the alt-right, because the same will happen to the alt-right as has happened to everything else. Anyway, we're coming to the end of the podcast, Dennis. We've gone a little bit over, actually. So I'll say thank you very much for coming on. Thank you very much, listeners, for listening. We'll be back next Friday. Same time, same place, Radio Aryan. We hope you have a wonderful weekend.
To Radio